Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, I want to second what Daniel said. Thank you guys so much for coming out. I know, man, when it's raining, a lot of times we just want to lay in the bed and we don't feel like getting out of bed. But man, I think church is important. I love the way it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Like a lot of people don't go to church and they're like, oh, it's not important. And I just think that's crap. I think it is important. I think it's important to get around other people who believe what you believe, to encourage you in your faith, to spur. And in fact, right after that in Hebrews 10, it says to spur on one another towards good works. And so that's the idea. Like, man, we encourage each other to keep fighting the good fight and doing the right things and living the life that you're supposed to live and you're called to live. So I think church is important. So I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Let's get started. We're continuing our series. We're actually wrapping up our series called Toxic. And what we've talked about for the last few weeks, we've talked about some toxic thoughts, some toxic beliefs, some toxic attitudes. Last week, we talked about toxic emotions. And just kind of, you know, for clarification, like, you know, there are a lot of things that go on up here or in here that are like, man, where the heck did that come from, right? And they're toxic, and they determine a lot of times your belief dictates your behavior. So if you believe certain things, you start doing certain things. And so we've got to root out the toxic, you know, beliefs or attitudes or emotions that we've got so that we do the right things, right? So that's kind of where we've been for the last few weeks. If you missed any of it, shameless plug, it's on iTunes. Right. This is actually really cool. This is just kind of, I guess, a testament to the power of technology and us as a church leveraging that. We use a hosting site called Podbean, which kind of sends everything to iTunes. And we've had over 11,000 plays of our podcast, of, you know, which is 4 years worth of podcasts. That's still, yeah, that's really cool. And the funny thing is the ones that get the most hits are when other people speak at Motion. So that's cool. You guys think I'm joking? That is not a joke at all. Because I get to see, and it just, you know, here's your confidence, sucker. Anyway, so that is cool. If you haven't seen any of it or heard any of it, it's on iTunes. This week, we're going to talk about toxic, we're actually going to hit two toxins at once, and it's toxic relationships and toxic habits. And the reason that we're talking about them together is because they usually go hand in hand. If you get into a toxic relationship, you're going to develop some toxic habits. And what we do, this is what we do, and you know this, if you have children, you know this better than anybody. The people that you hang around, you will unwittingly pick up on the things they do, the things they say, the attitudes that they have. So when your kid comes home with an attitude, you're like, who you been hanging around? Because that ain't you, right? But we do the same thing, but it's a lot easier to point it out in somebody else than it is in ourselves, right? And so the people that we hang around and the relationships that we're in, if we're not careful, if they're toxic, they lead to toxic habits. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The reason we're hitting them together is because they're interconnected. They're like peas and carrots, which is gross, but that's fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says this. It says, I love the way this is Paul, and he writes a letter to me, and I could be wrong. This is my opinion. The church that he's writing to here, the church in Corinth, is to me the most like the church in the United States today. It's like a church that had a lot of problems and a lot of people with a lot of problems. And so Paul, when he writes this letter to the church at Corinthians, like he shoots straight, man. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't pull any punches. He kind of lets them know, hey, this is what's up. And so in chapter 15, verse 33 of 1 Corinthians, he says, do not be deceived. And basically, I think he's kind of like, hey, come on, man. You're smarter than that. You're not stupid. Stop acting like you're so dumb, right? If I could write some of this stuff, it would be colorful. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And you know what? It's like, that's so obvious, isn't it? Like every one of us, man, you take that out of the Bible and you put that just as a quote on a wall somewhere, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But we forget that sometimes. And that's why Paul's like backing up. He's like, don't be deceived. You know it, but sometimes you don't live like you know it. You know that it's true, but sometimes you don't act like it's true. Don't be deceived. Not you, like the people that he's writing to. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. The people that you hang around, the relationships that you're in, if they're toxic, they lead to toxic habits. So if you're in a toxic relationship, you'll develop some toxic attitudes and you'll start saying things. And I do this, and it's good or bad. Like this whole thing is powerful both ways. But I've picked up phrases from people, and I'll start saying things, and I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I'm not even going to do it, right? Because they're so goofy. Like, when you hang around younger people, you start saying stupid things that you're way too old to say, like, on fleek. Right? And most people that are my age are like, on fleece? What? You got a fleece jacket? I don't understand. Right? So you pick up on the things that people say, the attitudes that they have, the things that they do. But this is what I don't want this to be. I don't want this to be a blame game. I don't want us to talk about all of the ways that we are influenced by other people, because you know it works both ways. And this is what we're so quick to point out the flaws in other people that are causing us to do things without taking responsibility for the way that we do things. Or this one is something we're going to kind of mention kind of periodically throughout the day, is make sure that you're not the toxic relationship that leads other people to have toxic habits. Because this is funny to think about. If you can't think of a toxic relationship, you are the toxic relationship, you know, for whatever it's worth. So one aspect of this that's just really important to think about as we talk about this is make sure that you're becoming the right person and you are the right relationship and you're leading other people and helping shape and influence them by being the right relationship. Don't be a toxic relationship that leads other people to have toxic habits. Good. At the end of the day, we all have responsibility for our own lives, and hopefully when we do that, when we take responsibility for ourselves, we can lead and shape other people in a God-honoring way. So this is the phrase. Like every week we've kind of crafted the talk around a phrase, and this is the phrase that's toxic, that's kind of funny because there are elements of this that are true. It's kind of like we talked about with grace and how, man, we're not good enough, but we are good enough because Jesus decided that we were good enough. And the phrase is this: I need you. And that's just dangerous. It's dangerous, but at the same time, we do need community. There's elements of that that are true, but we'll talk about that. We'll break it down so you guys don't leave completely confused, because sometimes I can be confusing, right? Sometimes I confuse myself. Anybody else ever do that? So the first part, we're going to look at the toxic relationships and that component of it. So there are toxins. When it comes to relationships, like you can have toxins on this end of the spectrum, and you can go all the way to the other side, the other end of the spectrum, and you can find toxins down there. You can have toxic relationships that are too needy and some that are too independent, right? Because neither are healthy. Like if you're in a relationship and you're completely independent and you don't care about the other person or their needs or what they want to do, then it's toxic. It's not healthy. There's nothing about that that's healthy. But if you're so needy and you can't make any decision or do anything or find validation on your own, that's not healthy, right? So there's toxicity on any end of the spectrum. Some relationships overuse and some neglect, right? Neither one of those are healthy. And what we're going to own in on today, or focus on specifically today, is just the one component of this neediness, kind of this I have to have you in my life, or I don't feel like I'm anything, or I matter, or I have value, or I have worth, because that's just dangerous, man. If you start to live your life, and that's the way that you find validation, that's the way that you find purpose, that's the way that you find meaning, you're in a bad spot. You're in a precarious spot. You're in a volatile spot. You're basically asking for it. Right? You're asking for trouble and disappointment. And so I've always heard this referred to, or recently I've heard this referred to, and it's so good, as a relationship. Not a relationship, it's a relationship. And you know what leeches do, right? They attach themselves to you, and they literally, their intent is to suck the life out of you. That's what a relationship is. And so when people attach themselves to you and they take and they take and they take and they take and they adopt this mantra, I need you, and you add meaning and value to my life, and it's just dangerous, it's emotionally unhealthy and unstable, it's a relationship. And you know what you have to do with leeches, right? You got to cut them off. I've heard you can burn them off, but that sounds excruciating. So you got to this could be interesting. Shiv, shank, what? But you cut it off. When it comes to a leech, if you look down and you've been, for whatever reason, God knows why you'd be wallowing in a swamp, but there are people that do this stuff. And so you look down and you see a leech on your leg attached to you, sucking the blood, your life, out of you. You've got to cut it off. But you know what we do with people that suck the life out of us? We keep them around. We keep hanging on to them. We keep giving them influence in our lives and room. And dude, here's the thing. You don't have to be a jerk, but that doesn't mean that you can't cut people off. Like, I think there's a lot of really good biblical proof for that. And if you have any questions, ask Daniel, because he will fill you in on the rest of it. So, by the way, the Michael Jordan thing is true. It may not be the Michael Jordan, but I will find a Michael Jordan and introduce you to him. So we don't need to be in relationships. We need to be in relationships. We don't need to be in relationships where people take, or where you take. It always needs to be give and take. And if you find yourself in one of these take relationships, it's toxic and it leads to toxic habits. And so the most obvious problem with this as followers of Jesus is that they're not God and you're not God. And so we need to stop acting like they are, or we need to stop acting like we are. And Paul kind of addresses this whole idea or this mentality in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says this, and this is so good. He says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God?" Like, that's kind of a foundational phrase for the way that we should live our lives. I'm not here to win the approval of human beings. Like, at the end of the day, if nobody else in the world likes me, that's okay. I mean, it would really suck, but it's okay. Like, you can make it. You need to seek the approval of God first. And people are only supposed to be supplemental at best. Like, people are supposed to add value to our lives. Sure. They're supposed to encourage us. Sure. But foundationally, kind of the cornerstone of our foundation has to be seeking the approval of God. That's the most important relationship in our life. That's where we find value. That's where we find worth. That's where we find purpose, not in our lateral relationships, but in our vertical relationship, right? Jesus is the only one that we should need. So the rest of the verse, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people?" And I love the way he asks like a question. Instead of just stating it, it's almost like, hey man, you should know this, so I'm going to ask a question so that you kind of feel dumb about yourself, right? I don't know that he did that, but am I trying to please people? And then he follows it up with this statement, "If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." If you live your life trying to find validation and worth and purpose in people, then I don't know, according to what Paul's saying here, that you're really following Jesus, or you get the right ideas, or that you've got the foundation right. You got to get the foundation right to be a servant of God first and foremost, and then people are important. People really do matter, and we talk about community a lot. I'm not trying to be contradictory, but you got to get the first things first. Like, you know, first things first, right? First things first. As if saying it one more time would make everything just set in. First things first. Jesus is the only one that we should need. Like, people absolutely are important, but we don't need people, right? And we misuse this word need. This is what we do. Oh, I need those shoes. I need that car. No, you don't. You don't need any of that stuff. What you need is Jesus. Don't get me started, right? We do put a ton of emphasis on community, and we do believe it's very important that we're not created to do life alone, but we don't need that as much as we need Jesus. We can't live our lives needing others for validation or motivation. Sometimes I think that we don't even want to do anything unless somebody else is watching us do what it is that we're doing. Like, who are you doing it for? Like, who are you living for? That's why when they do the wrong things when nobody else is looking, which is we talk about characters doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. When you choose to do the wrong thing just because nobody else is looking, it shows me that you don't really care what God thinks, you care what other people think, right? And you're living for the approval of man rather than the approval of God. So here's some problems with relationships. That was good. You should write that down. Here's some problems with relationships. People aren't perfect. Just like you're not perfect. So if you're trying to find some validation and worth in that, and you're trying to find, like, you attach yourself to them, expecting them to fulfill you in some way, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Like, it will fail you every single time. Every person in this room, myself included, believe it or not, we will fail you. I'll fail you more than most, right? Like, that's above our pay grade. We weren't created to add value or for you to attach your identity to. It's never what we were created to do, and it's going to end up in disaster. It's going to end up in disappointment for you. You weren't intended. You were never intended to be somebody else's life source, or vice versa. Like, they were never intended to be your life source. You can't attach so much emotion and energy. And you know, if you have a physical or mental or spiritual void and you expect somebody else to fill it, you're going to be really disappointed. Because, you know, this is what happens, and this is the world that we live in. We live in a world that loves to put Band-Aids on gaping wounds. And that's what people do with relationships. It's like you've got this gaping wound. You've got this emptiness. You've got this hole. And you want to fill it. And so you'll fill it with a relationship, and you find out that relationship didn't fill it. So in your bright mind, you think, oh, it was the wrong relationship. So I'll find another relationship to fill the hole in my soul. But that's not going to fill the hole in your soul. Jesus is the only one that fills the hole in the soul, homie. I do get a little ghetto sometimes. But it's like white ghetto, so it's not too ghetto. Right? People were just never intended to satisfy us like that or fulfill us like that. That's the place. And there's this cheesy kind of mantra or mentality that I guess was prevalent in the 80s. And it's the way that people presented the gospel. And it was like, you have this God-shaped hole in your heart, and Jesus is the only one that can fill it. And as cheesy as it is, man, it's so true. Like, I know for me, I was a senior in high school. Like, I had a lot of good things going on in my life. I was, you know, school was going well, college prospects were going fantastic. I had a lot of friends, and we just, you know, everything was good, right? And I felt as empty and just desperate as you could possibly feel and be. And there was an emptiness, and I sought to fill it with all of these things and these, you know, these behaviors and all of this stuff, and I never felt satisfaction until I found the one who really satisfies. But that's just my story. And you know what's fun about our stories? When you've got an experience, you're never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Like, people can tell you that God's not real, or people can tell you that, oh, you know, I just don't believe that God works like that. And my experience just tells me otherwise. I don't have to listen to your arguments when I've got an experience. But what do I know, right? One other issue that might arise from this toxic relationship or toxic relationships is that when you attach yourself to somebody, I think it could possibly create like this weird messiah complex in them. It over-inflates their self-worth. They're like, oh yeah, they do need me because I'm awesome. And they're not. And so it's just dangerous. It's not good to attach yourself to somebody like that or to be in a relationship. Man, you may have to cut it off. And you know what's obvious about that, or should be, is that when you cut something off of your leg, it's painful. Right, because they're into your skin, right? They embed themselves essentially into your skin. So there's going to be some pain on your end too, because if somebody is attached to you and they need you, it probably feels good in some ways. It's like, oh yeah, I'm really, really important because they need me. But it's not healthy. And so what you need to do is cut it off, and there's some pain that probably will be involved with that. It's okay to cut people off. It's okay to set up boundaries. Like, it's not a free-for-all, and it's not anything goes. It's okay to have boundaries, and it's okay to have a right perspective and a different perspective. So those are some ideas around this concept of toxic relationships, especially ones that employ the mantra, I need you. We went to a prison one time, and the band played, and I preached, and it was the women inmates that night. There were, I think, 150, 200 women inmates. Okay, maybe more. Shelley exaggerates. I'm honest, so let's say 250. Okay. Shelley said there were 3,000. I'm going to go with 250. So anyway, the band was in there getting set up, and they were singing the song, Give Me Faith, and part of it was like, it starts with, I need you, and so the guy that was singing was like, I need you, right? And one of the ladies in the front was like, ooh, I do need you. You see how dangerous that is? She's in prison. Dangerous. Just kidding. So when we're in or we contribute to toxic relationships, we pick up or pass on toxic habits, right? When you're in or contribute to a toxic relationship, you pick up or pass on toxic habits. And this is true in a general sense, kind of like we talked about, you pick up on people's attitudes, their emotions, the phrases that they say, the words that they say, but it's also true in a very specific sense. So let's look at kind of the general aspect of this. I heard a quote one time, and it's so good, from Dave Ramsey. He said, the only difference between you today and you in 5 years are the books you read and the people you meet. And it just speaks to the power that people have in shaping our lives and influencing our lives and the decisions that we make and the paths that we take. Like, people are extremely influential and powerful. So if you're in the right relationships, awesome. If you're in the wrong relationships, oh Lord, right? You're in trouble. You're asking for it. It's typically will end in disaster. And so another really good quote that kind of just, it's another iteration of the power of relationships from Andy Stanley, who is my man crush. He says, who and what you listen to will determine what you do. Who and what you listen to will determine what you do. The people that you allow to shape your life, to give, you give voice to them, you give your ear to them, they will determine the decisions that you make, the paths that you take, and all of those other things that are poetic and whatnot, right? So with that in mind, let's kind of look at some specific habits that toxic relationships create. The first one is this. This is a toxic habit from toxic relationships. You'll always aspire to be someone else rather than yourself. You'll always, if you're in a toxic relationship or you are contributing to or the benefactor of a toxic relationship, this toxic habit will come up. You'll always aspire to be someone else rather than yourself. And we live in a world that celebrates this. Like where everybody wants to be this person and this famous person or this person who can do this or this person who's accomplished this or this person who has this or this person whose net worth is this. And we don't ever want to be ourselves. And it's just crazy that we do this because you know what we do? When we set up these impossible expectations or we kind of attach our identity to what would it be like if I were, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied with who you are, who you're around, who you're with, who you're becoming. And more importantly than that and crazier than that, like you'll never be satisfied with who it is that God created you to be. If you're always looking somewhere else for validation or that's what the meaning of life is or that's where I'll find purpose or that's where I will feel value if I do this. And it's just dangerous. It's not healthy. It's toxic. If you're unhealthy in an unhealthy relationship, you'll always Right? If you're in unhealthy relationships, you'll always look laterally for validation and comparison. And you'll never feel the need or the inspiration to be you. And that's important. Like, you need to be you. You are the only you. And only you can do what you can do, so you better do what God has called you to do. You. The only you. And it's just a shame because that's not who or how we were created to live. Just look at, this is really cool. Daniel, every week, does a fantastic job of just reminding us of the mission of Motion Church. And it's, we exist to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. So if you look in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, which is where that comes from, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." In him we live and move and have our being. Not in other people we live and move and have our being. Not in your spouse you live and move and have your being. Not in your children do you live and move and have your being. Not in your boss do you live and move and have your being. In him, in Jesus, you live and move and have your being. Like, that's where your purpose is. That's where your worth is. But if you don't get that right, you'll always look for validation elsewhere. And you're not going to find it. Like, that's, you're not going to find the right kind anyway. We glorify the wrong things, and that's the tendency that we have. So make sure you get the first things first, for in him we live and move and have our being. So that's the first toxic habit. The second one is this. You'll do what others want you to do rather than what God wants you to do. You'll esteem, if you're in a toxic relationship, then what you'll do is you'll esteem the opinion of others higher than the opinion of God. Right? You'll do whatever the court of public opinion says is cool or the thing to do at this point and time in your life rather than what it is that God wants you to do. And that's why, you know, I mean, it's so funny how we do this and like, oh, Christianity is so countercultural. No, it's just, it's been the same for a really long time. Now, culture may have changed. So really, culture is counter-Christianity, but that's whatever. Like, let's not get into that, you know? And so when there's this idea that we do what other people want us to do rather than what God wants us to do, then you got to go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It's like, are you really seeking the approval of man? Or are you seeking the approval of God? If you do what's trendy and you do what's cool, which always seems to be changing, then you're not really interested in what it is that God has to say. And I don't think that's a good place to live. I don't think that's a good place to be. I don't think it's a good place to move while we're at it, right? You'll be subject to the whims and fancies of the court of public opinion. Like, this is what's acceptable societally now. But it's always changing. Have you noticed how society's, like, the norms in society are always changing? So if that's where you base your life and how you make decisions, then you're always going to be changing your mind. You're going to be a flake. But if you base your opinions or your decisions on the opinions of God and what he wants you to do, it's really consistent. There's a lot of constancy with it, and that's a good place to live. I prefer people that are consistent. Like, not perfect, like, by no stretch of the imagination, but people that just... Shooting stars, you know, they're so pretty for a little while and then they're gone. And man, I would just rather have a star that you know is going to be there the next night and the next night and the next night and the next night. Some nights it shines brighter than others. Some nights the clouds kind of block the view, but it's always there. It's consistent. That was deep. You'll live your life, if you buy into this habit, you'll live your life as if it's a popularity contest. And to get to the end, when you get to the end of your life, if you live it like this, you're never going to accomplish anything really significant. And it's just, it's sad that so many people accept this and they follow this path. And it's for us as followers of Jesus, this is not the way to live your life. And I don't like to tell people how to live their life, but I just did, so go with it. The last habit is this. You'll find yourself, this is so true. Have you guys ever seen a hamster in a cage on the wheel? And dude, he is working, right? But he ain't going nowhere. But I mean, in his mind, he's like, right? He's rolling and life is good and he feels good about himself and he thinks he's making progress. But if you step back and you see the bigger picture, you see the hamster, he ain't going anywhere. And so if you develop toxic relationships and you get some toxic habits out of those relationships, you'll find yourself doing exercises in futility. You'll find yourself on a hamster's wheel. Just, man, going, 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 and not really getting anything done. There's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon was one of the, you know, wisest men who ever lived, one of the richest men who ever lived. Just, you know, a dude that did a lot of stuff. And he kind of got to the end of his life. And he said this phrase, he was like, vanity of vanities. Everything is like chasing the wind. All of the things that I've done, I feel like there's an emptiness in them. They're so futile. And you find yourself when you place value in the wrong things, it's like, what's the point? And this is a guy who did so much more than probably we will ever dream of accomplishing. And he got to the end of his life. And he's like, man, it was all futile. Like I placed my value in the wrong thing. I found purpose in the wrong things. I was chasing the wind. I was looking to find approval from people rather than from God. And so if we put our energy into pleasing God rather than pleasing people, I just think it's a better place to live your life. I love the way, Daniel, you're getting all the love today, man. I love the way that Daniel talked about how Christianity is very rewarding, but you don't know unless you try because it can be very difficult at the same time. Tell me one thing in life that's rewarding, that's not difficult. Like, give me one example of something that's extremely rewarding, that's not difficult or hard to achieve. And I think sometimes we anticipate or expect Christianity to be so easy, and when it gets hard, we're like, eh, right? I mean, have we read the New Testament? Like, Jesus, go just read Matthew chapter 5, and you'll figure it all out. Like, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, because if you're a peacemaker, that obviously means there's conflict to make peace, right? So for whatever it's worth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and we'll wrap this thing up. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I think if we place our value in the right things, if we place our hope in the right things, it's like the second song that we sang today. It says, no one whose hope is in the Lord will ever be put to shame, because he's the rock that's higher than us. Like, we got to put our hope in the right things. You don't put your hope in people. You can put love in people. You can invest in people. Investing in people, like over-investing in people, you hear kind of the glory stories of people who invest everything that they have, and they take out a second mortgage on their house and max out their credit cards on a tech startup company, and now they're squillionaires. That's one in a million. Like, most people who do that, they go bankrupt. And it's the same thing. If we put all of our investment into people, you're going to find yourself bankrupt. But if you diversify your portfolio, right, you put yourself, your investment in a proven commodity, Jesus, you're going to be much better. You're going to be in a better place financially, right, or spiritually in this case. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Put your faith, put your trust in God, because it's when we do that and we come to him and believe that he is, and this is what that's saying. It's like, God, I believe that you're the person that I should put my trust in. I believe that you're the person that I should put my hope in. I believe that you're the one who gives me worth. I believe that you're the one who gives me purpose. I believe that you're the one that gives me validation. Like, whatever it is that you're looking for, believe that he's the one that gives it, and that's faith, and that's something that's pleasing to God, and when you please him, he rewards you. That's good. So that's what I want to do this morning. I just want to pray to that end that we, man, if we're in some toxic relationships, and I know it's easy to do this, I know it's easy to get into some of these, sometimes you get into a toxic relationship not realizing it's a toxic relationship. Sometimes people change. Like people, if you, that's another dangerous part of this, man. If you find worth in people or your circumstances, they're always changing. People come and go, their attitudes change, their perspectives change. And so it's just not a healthy place to live your life. So what I want to pray for this morning is that, man, if you're in any toxic relationships, that you will be bold enough, I'll let you borrow my knife, to cut it off. As painful as it may, don't go stabbing anybody after church, please. But cut it off. Like, or set up boundaries, or, man, get somebody else to intervene. Like, if you need an outside perspective, it says wisdom is in the multitude of counsel. Like, find other people to help you kind of navigate through that relationship and what it should look like as opposed to what it does look like. And so that's what I want to pray for this morning, that we'll have the boldness to cut off toxic relationships. Or if you are a toxic relationship, if you have these needs that you're placing in other people, and you need to find your worth in Jesus. Like, you need to find your hope in Jesus. You need to find, like, your value in him. And we've talked about this a lot the last few weeks. Like, a lot of times we don't feel very valuable, but something is as valuable as what somebody else is willing to pay for it. And Jesus paid his life for you. You're extremely valuable. So find worth in that. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful that you've given us such a clear picture of what our lives are supposed to look like, what healthy relationships look like. God, some of the habits that we should be employing in our lives. But God, I also know that it's easy to get caught up in some toxic relationships, and it's easy because of that to develop some toxic habits. So this morning, God, I pray that you would help us in your mercy and your grace to be bold enough to make some changes in our life if necessary, God, that we'll never just become complacent with where we're at. We'll never just accept where we're at is where we're supposed to be, God, if we know that you've purposed us for more, God, and you've placed more inside of our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to be bold enough to maybe even cut off some relationships or change some relationships, to not be in these relationships, God, where people just suck the life out of us, or where we do the same to them, God. We would find our value and our worth and our purpose in you. It's in you that we place our hope. It's in you that we place our trust. God, I pray that as we leave this place, these aren't just words that we say. God, I pray that it's not just something that we hear, and it's not even just something that we know. It's something we do. It's something that we put into practice, God. It's not just knowledge, but it's wisdom. It's the application of the things that we know. God, we love you. Thank you so much for this toxic series and the things that we've learned about you and how to honor you well in the world that we live in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Yeah.